Good afternoon, everyone. And a hush falls over the room, which is great. I'm Paula Kaufman. I'm the interim director of the Mortenson Center for International Library Programs, which is situated in our university library. I'm getting feedback here. Are you hearing me okay? Huh? Okay, great. I'm getting an echo, so Barbara, be warned. And I bring you greetings from our university librarian and dean of libraries, John Wilkind, who could not be here today. He's traveling. But it's my great fortune that he's traveling because he asked me to make the introductions for this year's Mortenson Distinguished Lecturer, Barbara Ford. Barbara is, as you heard earlier, the Mortenson Distinguished Professor Emerita and former director of the Mortenson Center. Both the Mortenson Center Distinguished Professorship and the Mortenson Center were established more than 20 years ago by generous gifts from Walter and Gerda Mortenson with the mission of strengthening international ties among libraries and librarians worldwide for the promotion of international education, understanding, and peace. Our selection of Barbara to deliver this year's lecture now establishes firmly the precedent set when Mariana Tax Cholden delivered the 2002 Mortenson Distinguished Lecture, coincident with her retirement as the founding director of the Mortenson Center for International Library Programs and as our first Distinguished Mortenson Professor. And we're very lucky that Mariana is here with us today. I'd like her to stand and be recognized for the extraordinary... And those of you familiar with the Mortenson Center know the extraordinary foundational work that she did to establish the center as the unique and renowned global resource that it remains. Thanks to Mariana's aggressive recruiting, we were able to attract Barbara to succeed her. Coming to us after a long, multifaceted, and distinguished library career that you can read about in the program that you were handed, and building on her long-standing interests and expertise in international librarianship, Barbara has led the Mortenson Center to new heights in helping to meet the changing professional development needs of librarians around the world. Under her leadership, the center has worked in countries on nearly every continent, interacting with colleagues and responding to the changing funding models of the various organizations that seem to come in and out of the library funding space. Barbara's accomplishments have been recognized by many organizations and groups, including the University of Illinois. She has certainly made her mark on campus, skillfully integrating the Mortenson Center into both the life of the university library and the university. There's no one on campus who deals with international programs who doesn't know and respect her, and who hasn't called on her for her advice, and certainly for her participation in a myriad of campus committees and study groups. This afternoon, Barbara's going to both inform us and spark our intellectual curiosity as she talks with us about supporting global research, libraries, access, and social responsibility. So please join me in welcoming Barbara Ford.
I'm very pleased to be here to present the 24th Annual Mortenson Distinguished Lecture and to speak at the Library Research Seminar. It's great to have two audiences, and I thought that meant that I could speak twice as long as I might usually, because I'm doing two speeches in one here. So settle in, get comfortable. This could take a while. So what I'm going to do today is share some ideas on how international networks of librarians can integrate the global context into research to support knowledge production for a globalizing area. We know that much research is interdisciplinary and cross-cultural and is best done with a diverse, knowledgeable, and socially responsible worldview. Librarians can help support global research by building these networks that provide access to collections, services, and people for researchers globally, despite distance and cultural and linguistic differences. So I've got several topics that I'll be talking about today. I want to talk a little bit first about the challenges and opportunities in supporting global research, then a little bit about the role of libraries and librarians, and then move on to talk about some of the organizations that are working to provide information access around the world, and then end with two sections where we can all think about the importance of the awareness of global research and what our responsibility is to support access to research around the world. So the first section is talking a little bit about challenges and opportunities in supporting global research. We know that access to knowledge is fundamental to education and research, the improvement of lives, and the creation of human capital upon which the development of our society depends. A commitment to scholarly research carries with it a responsibility to circulate that work as widely as possible. And of course, this is the access principle. We know that wide circulation adds value to published work. And today, activities of researchers and librarians need to include exploring new models of publishing, how we can use new technologies, and some economic models that can improve access to scholarly work. And we can do this best by working collaboratively with colleagues, librarians, researchers, and publishers to ensure access. We also know that how we track and evaluate the value of research is changing. There's all sorts of alternative metrics today with web-based software that can evaluate the online dissemination and impact of authored research. And Collate mentions the scholarly articles across traditional media, but also social media, blog posts, reference management tools, and post-publication peer review sites. Also, some of these tools can look at where research is mentioned in public policy documents, often in a needed insight into real-life applications of research, which, of course, is very important to many of us today. So it's really all of our responsibilities to be aware of and take advantage of these global research perspectives. And open access to information helps us provide the capacity to close the gap between developed and traditioning countries and is very important for all of us to support. Librarians can work to ensure this access by working with researchers and others to be sure that information is open and accessible. The Research Information Network, which is a policy unit in the United Kingdom, produced a report and where one of the key findings is that access to research information is a major concern to researchers. Researchers say that they don't have trouble finding content, but gaining access is another matter due to the complexity of licensing arrangements and laws protecting information. So lack of immediate access can often hinder research and make collaboration difficult. This map, I think, indicates one of the biggest challenges for supporting global research. It shows every device connected to the internet and sums up some of the challenges for librarians in supporting global research. While some of the dark spots on the map our low population density, we can certainly see by the dark spots that access to the internet is not equal across the world, and different colors indicate density. Blue is fewer devices, and red, greater devices. So we see that the US and Europe have high level of connectivity, Africa has limited access, and even Asia has less internet connectivity than we might expect with their dense population centers. And one example of the challenges that this map illustrates is discussed in a report published last summer by McKinsey Global Institute that reports that Chinese businesses have been very slow to embrace the internet. only 1/5 of Chinese firms are using cloud-based data storage, compared with 3/5 of American ones. And Chinese businesses spend only 2% of their revenue on information technology, half the global average. So this report concludes, obviously, that much of the benefit the internet can bring in areas such as collaborative research is bypassing these Chinese firms. So the research context experienced by many librarians and researchers in transitioning and developing countries is illustrated on this map. Low bandwidth and limited power are realities in some parts of the world. Interlibrary loan isn't always available. With much of the literature in English, language can be another barrier. Limited access to important books and journals due to costs, whether in print or online, is also a reality. Lack of funds and support to travel to meetings and conferences make it difficult for international librarians to meet with colleagues and identify potential collaboration. So without access to global research information and without the ability to contribute national research findings, researchers and businesses in transitioning countries have struggled to make an impact to develop a strong and independent research infrastructure. So that's the first section that I wanted to talk about. What are some of the challenges? The next section that I wanted to talk about is a little bit about the role of librarians in research universities, because those of us who work as librarians in research universities need to try to provide the information that researchers need. And the role of librarians in U.S. research universities is sometimes different than librarians in transitioning countries. In the U.S., librarians have long-standing roles of collection development, reference and instruction, including supporting research collaboration across disciplines, institutions, and national boundaries. We're often viewed as partners with faculty as they do their research. We know that our roles as librarians in research institutions are becoming much more complex, with the need to support data curation, demonstrate the impact of research, and support interdisciplinary work. The requirements of governments around the world to make research data include conclusions freely available offers more opportunities and challenging. So librarians are trying to support digital scholarship. We're doing more studying of user experience. And we need to know more about copyright, intellectual property, and scholarly communication. At the same time, we're trying to help faculty manage the data lifecycle and plan how to manage their personal research information. So we reach out to faculty and advocate for open access and collaborative projects. The situation's a little different in some transitioning countries. Last week, we had a group of students of library and information science from Africa who visited the Mortensen Center for a program, and I had the opportunity to talk to them a little bit about the roles of librarians in their countries. These librarians were from Eritrea, Nigeria, South Africa, Tanzania, and Uganda. And they articulated a lot of the core functions that we think of for libraries in the U.S. And they also talked about some of the work that they do with researchers and some of the new programs that they're starting, including hiring a data research librarian and drafting a data management policy. They're also looking to expand their market using things like Facebook and Twitter. And in some cases, they're even helping with curriculum development. They're digitizing dissertations, and one institution has even collected Coursera, which are some of the massive online open content courses, and downloaded them to their intranet due to limited internet access. I'm always amazed as we work in the developing world at how resourceful our colleagues are with so few resources, they managed to find ways to work with their researchers. At the same time, some of these librarians who visited us reported limited bandwidth for electronic journals and limiting the use of social media in libraries because they don't have the bandwidth to support the work that they're doing. Some reported that their librarians are often treated as support staff and that there's real challenges in motivating librarians to expand their role and take on new services. All seemed aware of the need to expand their support of scholarly research, and they're aware of the changes in the role of the academic librarian and eager, as resources allow, to expand their services. Theo Bothima from the University of Pretoria in South Africa, who's in charge of this program, sent me an email talking a little bit about the research that these students are interested in, and this will sound familiar to many of you working in libraries today. They're interested in information-seeking behaviors of specific communities. They're very interested in comparison between countries. There's a lot of interest in how ICTs, or information and communication technologies, can support development in their country. They're interested in social media in libraries and how they can use that to expand their reach. And digital libraries and institutional repositories are also of great interest to this group of librarians from Africa. Another topic that they talked quite a bit about was information ethics and being certain that people understood the basic values and the characteristics of the kind of service that we want to provide to our users. So as you can hear from that list, our colleagues, at least this select group in Africa, have a lot of interests in common with those of us studying library and information science, and that the roles are very similar. So that's just a little bit as we think about roles as we support global research. The next thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is some of the organizations that are responding to the research needs in transitioning countries. And I thought this would be helpful because there is a lot going on in the world, and sometimes in the U.S. we aren't as aware of some of these projects as we might be. So first of all, I wanted to talk about the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions, or IFLA. This is a group that helps to build libraries' capacity to positively influence digital information policy. This is the organization that often represents libraries at the World Intellectual Property Organization, or WIPO. They have a lot of publications that pull together information on global trends and help us see how they're shaping libraries. I put this publication on the slide because it's an example of an IFLA publication that talks about how we can use research, the topic of the conference here, to promote literacy and reading and its guidelines for librarians. IFLA has many publications like this that can be helpful. In addition, IFLA offers things like scholarships to attend programs. They have a big program to build strong library associations and develop library leaders. So that's the first organization I wanted to just talk briefly about. And we have many people at the University of Illinois who have been very active in this organization. So if you want to know more, there'll be an opportunity during the reception to talk to people. The next organization I wanted to mention is EIFL, or Electronic Information for Libraries. This group works to provide access to knowledge in developing and transitioning countries in collaboration with libraries in more than 60 countries, mostly in Africa, Asia, Europe, and Latin America. They began by advocating affordable access to commercial e-journals. Now they work on things like consortiums, licensing, opening access, copyright, free and open software. And they partner with libraries in national consortiums to build capacity, advocate for access to knowledge, and encourage knowledge sharing. They also support a lot of pilot projects. Another group is the International Network for the Availability of Scientific Publications, or INASP, which is United Kingdom-based. And they really work to strengthen the global research communication cycle by improving research availability, access, use, creation, and communication. They have partnerships to make this happen in transitioning and developing countries. And they work closely with publishers who provide online journal and book access to do this in an economical way. They also have a program for the enhancement of research information that works to disseminate national research in transitioning countries to increase the visibility of that research. The Carnegie Corporation is probably a name that almost everyone in the room knows because they have a long history of supporting libraries both in the U.S. and now they're working a lot in Africa. Some of their current projects are interesting because they are helping African countries to get some highly trained workers, researchers, and teachers who can support locally generated research to sustain social and economic gains. So they're bringing together African leaders to figure out how best to support these changes in their countries. They're the group that supported the library science students who were here that I interviewed. And they have done some amazing projects. I also read just last week that they have a new support of U.S. universities in international research and expertise, so that they're working in many different places, but are examples of one of the funders that does really good work. The Elsevier Foundation, and some of you may know the name Elsevier from some of the publishers that we've all worked with, has an innovative libraries program, and they support capacity-building projects in science, technology, and medicine through training, educational infrastructure, digitization, and preservation of information. And one example of a project is one in Vietnam, where they really helped a Vietnamese university increase scholarship, research, and scientific and technical information exchange. They've worked with the Medical Library Association and Librarians Without Borders to train information resources how to exploit electronic resources available through the next organization I'm going to talk about. Research for Life is a program that provides free or low-cost access to information on health, agriculture, and the environment to support research in developing countries. This program enhances teaching, research, scholarship, and policymaking, and works closely with international organizations like the World Health Organization, and Microsoft is one of their technology partners. Research for Life is really working to help the progress of the Millennium Development Goals. And I've learned that in the U.S., a lot of us may not be so familiar with the Millennium Development Goals, but in much of the world, this set of 8 development targets for 2015 that was approved by the United Nations has been very effectively used to get support from governments to improve the life of people in their countries. The final organization of this type that I want to talk about is the American Library Associations. ALA sends delegations of U.S. librarians to book fairs around the world to help us acquire diverse materials for our collection and connect with other librarians. They've done this in Guadalajara, Mexico, Hong Kong, and their newest partnership is the Sharjah International Book Fair to be held in the United Arab Emirates, where U.S. librarians will offer poster sessions. These are wonderful opportunities to meet international colleagues and learn more about what's going on in the world. The American Library Association also offers some scholarships to send U.S. librarians and library school students to international conferences. I might also note that just like at this conference, many international librarians also come to conferences in the U.S., so please take advantage to meet those people who are here and look for opportunities to collaborate. Another important type of organization in supporting global research is groups that try to make our research accessible to those who need it around the world. Here on our campus, we have an organization called Scientific Animation Without Borders, or SABO. This was developed by University of Illinois faculty members who really wanted to address unmet educational needs, especially for those with lower literacy levels in the developing world. So they're dedicated to helping people gain access to knowledge critical to their lives. The professors who developed this saw the potential of cell phones and used animation, which can easily be translated into any language, to share scientific research with low-level readers. They know that people around the world need this information, and their videos on agriculture and health can be used by researchers and librarians around the world to share expertise and make a difference in people's life. I think this is a perfect example of the Land-Grant University at work in terms of sharing our expertise and making critical information available to people to improve their lives. Then I wanted to talk a little bit, of course, about the Mortensen Center. Through the development and implementation of training programs for librarians worldwide, we've worked with partners to develop librarians who can support research in action for libraries and library education around the world. Our projects in Africa with university libraries and in Asia with university and public libraries illustrate some approaches about how we can work with others to support cross-disciplinary research to create new knowledge. As you heard, we've been doing this for more than 20 years. And have worked with, at this point, I think, librarians in more than 90 countries. At the Mortensen Center, we believe that people are the most essential ingredient in developing libraries and supporting global research and knowledge development, so really focus on developing librarians and library staff. Our projects usually begin with a planning visit to be sure we understand the needs and expectations of our partners. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some projects that we've done in East and West Africa, working with 10 universities in Tanzania, Uganda, Ghana, and Nigeria. This work happened from 2006 to about 2012 and was supported by the Carnegie Corporation and MacArthur Foundation. This was part of a larger project that Carnegie and MacArthur had to strengthen research universities through information technology. They also built new laboratories, they provided scholarships, and they worked on gender equity, which is very important in the work of these foundations. So our work was part of these larger projects, and the goal of the Mortensen Center projects was to implement automated library management systems and develop a team of librarians trained and able to manage automation and automation-related projects in their libraries. At the time we began this project in 2006, several of the universities had limited access to electricity and limited bandwidth. So many of the librarians had very little experience with online resources, and the faculty in a lot of these institutions were really frustrated with their difficulty in downloading articles and other materials. So these are just some shots of some of our training in Africa. So over 6 years, the Mortenson Center worked with these university libraries, and all of them implemented library management systems, improved their web presence, offered better remote access to electronic resources, and significantly increased internet bandwidth. Now, of course, we can't take credit for all of this because we were working with partners in the countries and our very capable colleagues at libraries in these countries. So the librarians worked with a library vendor to provide online library catalogs and to train staff on how to plan for and implement these projects. It's really amazing how far these libraries have come. Many of them have now moved on to a different and more advanced library system, some of them using open software. Some of the things that we saw happen during this project is that librarians became more focused on the needs of users and customer service. They now have dedicated library system staff. Their catalogers are up to date on international standards. And influenced by the success of their efforts, they're now turning to other projects like institutional repositories, and they have librarians ready to manage automation projects. So to put this in context, today there are many hopeful signs in sub-Saharan Africa that will further assist university libraries in being more supportive of an active in research. New power plants are sprouting across sub-Saharan Africa, and electricity generating capacity will increase by more than half by the end of the decade. We also know that scientific research in Africa is gathering momentum. The number of scientific papers produced by African has tripled in the past decade to over 55,400 in 2013, according to Reed Elsevier, one of our information countries. While it's still only 2.4% of the world's total, the quality is rising as well. More funding and better internet connectivity are helping. Access to scientific literature offered by public-private partnerships like Research for Life has also helped. And there's beginning to be some research to show that projects like this are improving research around the world. A 5-year study of citations in a Nigerian medical journal suggests that health researchers in Nigeria are using Hanari, which provides online access to the world's health-related scientific literature free or at very low cost to researchers in developing countries. So the research shows that researchers in Nigeria in medicine are using these to a considerable extent. So we were very pleased at the Mortenson Center to be part of that development that has brought along research in some African university libraries. We've also had some other programs in Africa, one of them which worked with the Library and Information Association of South Africa in leadership training at the end of apartheid, and another recent one that worked with academic librarians in South Africa to assist them in developing new programs to support research. So this grant set up research commons in university libraries, purchased research materials, and helped librarians learn about more about research. So those are just a few ideas of some of the things we've done in Africa. In Asia, we have assisted with the education of academic librarians from Vietnam in a program with Simmons College. And this slide is from our grant that we had to work with public libraries in China. and many of them have worked to provide access to information for the public in their countries. We know that much of this work has been very successful because Arabella advisors, with the support of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, looked at the impact of the Mortensen Center over the past 5 years. And they found that the center has enhanced librarian skills, knowledge, and competence, and prepared them for leadership opportunities, and that the participants applied the skills and competence they built during the training to introduce new programs and have a greater focus on customer service. So Arabella Associates found that the Mortensen Center training has helped to shift librarians' attitude toward their role in their communities and led them to have a more user-driven approach to their work. Librarians participating in our programs have written about their experiences and shared what they've learned. Some of them have expanded their research and are reaching out to researchers and others in their communities. So, given these developments with the organizations I've talked about, how can we, as librarians, mostly from the U.S., stay aware of existing research and trends in other countries? Discussions regarding information access aren't new. With the rise of information and communications technologies, it's very easy to communicate with people on the other side of the world. And we've all seen the impact of these connections in recent events that foster freedom and access to information, and some that don't, with some of the recent environment developments that we've been hearing about. The library community around the world needs to be involved in the formation of national information policies which support equity of access and making new technologies work for human development. And through supporting global research, libraries can help move these global agendas for development forward and improve libraries around the world. So some of the things that are happening that we need to be aware of. Institutional repositories are being established by libraries and universities in transitioning countries. We should be aware of these. Digitization projects are making research information more accessible and easier to use. There's a lot more information that we can get today at our desk without travel than in the past. Also, some of these tools allow us to look at the relationship between collections in different locations and avoid duplication of efforts. On a more personal level, some of the things that we can do to stay aware of these developments is attend international conferences or read research that's presented at these conferences. For example, some of the papers presented at the IFLA conference in Lyon this summer in the Africa section are very, very interesting and could give good ideas of how you might collaborate. All of us need as well to look at things like social media, blogs, listservs, public policy documents, and other less traditional academic sources to learn about research developments around the world that might be of interest and might not be part of our traditional academic indexes. So I asked three international colleagues who teach and attend international conferences and have been at the Mortensen Center if they have ideas about how we might increase research collaborations. So colleagues from South Africa, Japan, and Mexico, and these are all people who do very serious research themselves. Thayo Bothima from South Africa researches on teaching information literacy and information access in e-dictionaries. Yasuyo Inoue from Japan is very interested in young adult services, and she's also interested in comparative librarianship and writes a lot about comparative kind of topics. Jesus Lau from Mexico looks at information skills for learning, including online education, and has worked a lot on media and information literacy indicators for UNESCO. So here are some of the ideas of these three colleagues about how we could increase our global research connections. All three of them, of course, mention visits, stays, and conferences as one way to bridge the communication with parties that will be doing similar research work. We need to go outside our own countries and meet and chat with international librarians. And if we can't travel physically, we need to use the internet and other tools that we have at our disposal. Yasuyo from Japan talks about, asks some provocative questions about international research collaboration. She talks about how Japanese librarians have been influenced by American libraries, but she says that it seems like American librarians hesitate to receive different cultures or points of view. Now, this is a woman who's been at many international conferences. She says that she thinks we're even nervous about things like translated books. She asks why, in our public and school libraries, are manga the only books you find translated from Japanese? She thinks that we should be more curious about what's outside our world. Theo Bothima from South Africa talks about how research collaborations happen when we find topics of mutual interest and very often in personal dialogues. So he thinks we need to network and discuss our research with peers abroad. But he says he's concerned that this is often perceived as a pure north-south information flow, where the better researchers from the developed world come and tell their developing world colleagues how things should be done. And that south-north interaction with people from developing countries going to the U.S. and Europe with their own research and speaking at specific institutions or conferences about their research is extremely important. So I thought those two perspectives of people looking at us as U.S. researchers were something we need to think about as we think about library research here this week. So probably the best way to collaborate, of course, is to sit around a table with people with similar interests. If we can't do that, we need to look at other ways to collaborate and take the initiative on those kinds of collaborations. So now moving to the final topic I wanted to talk about is how we can support global access to information and global research. What is our responsibility as librarians and researchers in countries with more extensive research to support access to information and the development of research in transitioning countries? The United Nations is negotiating a new development agenda to follow the Millennium Development Goals and setting new goals for 2016 to 2013. The Lyon Declaration of Access to Information and Development, which was just launched this year, has over 350 organizations from across the world supporting it. These organizations call on the United Nations to increase access to information and knowledge across society, assisted by the availability of information and communication technology, to support sustainable development and improve people's lives. Sounds like something we can all support, I think. So IFLA staff just spoke about this at a World Bank Transparency and Information Management open discussion forum. So this declaration is getting a lot of positive press and is important for us to be aware of. Just yesterday, IFLA issued a toolkit for how librarians can help implement this Lyon Declaration. And I would challenge all of us to go back to our institutions where we work and think about what we can do on the local level to increase knowledge and awareness of this important development. So in addition to each of these to supporting things like the Lyon Declaration, there are things each of us can do in our work and research to support global access to information. First of all, we can publish on platforms more open to underrepresented journals and scholars in developing countries so that we promote a greater range of ideas and scholarly exchange. A recent study of the journal Nature Communications showed that its open access papers actually enjoyed a slightly higher number of citations and more downloads and online views than their non-open access papers. So I think this is a change. People are turning more to open access research. We need to educate people in our institutions about these issues and take action to support these kinds of developments. Scholarly communication also, I think, should encourage research on topics of local and national relevance and be certain that it's presented through globally accessible channels and disseminated by social media. I think a lot of us now find out about new developments in unusual ways through social media, and we need to continue to make our research available that way and reveal some of the scientific contributions that are found in underrepresented literature. Publishers who participate in programs like Research for Life that provide access to research information to those in transitioning countries need to be supported, and others need to be encouraged to provide open access to researchers around the world. Exploring opportunities for colleagues from other countries to participate in meetings and conferences is essential. I'm so glad we have some international participants at our conference here, and we need to continue to look for opportunities to do this. So we need to find not only ways to travel ourselves to other countries, but to bring people to us here where we can learn from them. Conducting a research project with a colleague in another country can be very, very rewarding. And reviewing online papers from international conferences is an easy way to see what work is being done, to identify potential collaborators, and then you can always reach out virtually and suggest collaborative research. When doing our own research, we need to be certain that literature searches also include an international component. We may need to look in less traditional places like policy documents, blogs, conference proceedings, and institutional repositories to find research that's not in traditional indexing tools. We may be surprised what we find, and new collaborations may lead to new insights and ideas. So we know that most of our universities are interested in increasing their globalization and research output. As librarians and library researchers and information scientists and information workers, we can be part of making this happen by supporting global research. So I look forward these few days while we're here at the conference to talking with some of you about some ideas about how we can increase the global footprint of our research and learn more about research around the world. So these are just a few ideas and thoughts that I have from working at the Mortenson Center with colleagues from around the world. It's been an incredible experience, And many people have assisted with the center's work in developing international libraries. I also wanted to acknowledge Walta and Gerda Mortensen, who made possible our work by giving the funds to support outreach and library work to support world peace. Mariana Tax-Cholden, who was the first director, left a very strong legacy and is still regarded with great respect around the world. And I've been very fortunate to have been able to build on the strong foundation she established at the Mortensen Center. Susan Schnorr, Susan, stand up so people know who you are. Susan is the Associate Director of the Mortensen Center and has been at the center since the beginning and is really the heart and soul of the work we do. She's a very strong grant writer, planner, and trainer, and she's planned and delivered excellent training programs for librarians around the world. The Mortensen Center could not have accomplished all that it's done without her. University of Illinois librarians and library colleagues, and there's a lot of them in this room, have willingly shared their expertise with international librarians here and around the world. Our library staff and administrators make international visitors feel welcome and assist with the many details of making training programs work. A strong graduate school of library and information science also supports our work. Paula Kaufman, who's always been very supportive of the center and is now the interim director, has led us as we've developed a number of projects. But we couldn't have done the work we do without the support of our library colleagues here in Illinois and around the world. So I hope that during the reception following this lecture, you'll have time to talk with Mariana, Susan, Paula, and me about the Mortensen Center, and we'll all be here this week as well for the conference. So thank you for your interest, and I look forward to hearing about how all of you are supporting and can support global research. Thank you.
Barbara, you have stimulated our thinking, and you've certainly given us a lot to think about. We have time for a couple of questions before we go out and relax over a drink and heavy food. anyway, Barbara will take some questions, which I'm sure you have.
Or comments, if other people have thoughts or ideas that I haven't included. And if, yes, Lynn. I'll repeat your comment or question.
Well, identify yourself.
Yes.
I am Lynn Bristow, and I was referred to earlier, and I'm doing a shameless plug here. I am on the Governing Board of WICLA, and we are responsible for the Neon Declaration. The University of Illinois just signed the Neon Declaration a couple of days ago, so any of you who are here from other institutions or any non-governmental organizations that might just
did everyone hear what Lynn said about the Lyon Declaration and IFLA? So look for her this week to talk about that. Yes.
My name is Chang Jin. I'm from the U of I Library. Right, Barbara, as we know, librarians have always been the advocates for equal access for many years. Librarians have been shipping books to Africa and developing countries. But because the internet, as like you mentioned just now, internet is only heavily used in North America as well as in Europe. The rest of the world really have limited access to internet. which create challenges for open access to information. My question for you is, what do you think librarians can do in this type of in this environment to help people in the developed countries to promote open access information literacy?
Her question was how we can promote open access and availability of information in the developing world. One of the things I would say is almost everyone now has a cell phone, any place we go in the world. So we need to think about how we can use that very basic technology to deliver the kind of information that people need. Internet access is getting better all the time as well, but I think thinking about how we can do things simply using things like cell phones and technology that is not so complicated is very important. You know, as we develop websites or resources, make them useful where people don't have a lot of bandwidth or don't have a lot of access. So just being aware when you think about this of how we can make things as accessible as possible is very, very important. And a lot of the organizations that I talked about are very aware of this and work very carefully to deliver information in ways that is easily accessible with limited bandwidth. That was a good question, how we connect things like the Lyon Declaration with the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. And I think that that's something we all need to keep in mind, that information comes in a lot of different formats and from a lot of different groups, and being aware of this is extremely important. I don't know if IFLA has discussed this and whether Lynn would have anything to say on this, but I think this is something we can talk about and think about this week. It's so important that we keep in mind some of the less represented groups and be sure that as we develop these grand policies and plans, that we don't leave those people out, because many of them have even less access to information than some of the majority groups around the world. So thank you for bringing that up.
I thought I saw a hand back there. Wayne?
Yes. I just want to announce that the Library of Medicine has awarded the Rudolf Mattis Library in New Orleans the opportunity to do Hanari training, which we have conveniently Mardi Gras.
Wow.
And we have a really, we have probably the cheapest hotel rooms in the city on February 5th and 6th, and we're also having a panel discussion about global health research at Tulane University. So if you'd like to come to New Orleans and learn about Hanari, it would be tremendous if you, especially if you're representing people who are going to go work in low and middle-income countries. The innovation of it is that most of that training happens in the country. It does not happen so much in the United States. So we would be happy for you to come. I have some flyers that I brought with me. I'm just starting to promote it next week. So I'm Elaine. Please, you know, see me if you would like more information.
Yep, there's a hand over there.
Okay. Yes.
So that's
That is Theodosia, who's here from Ghana, one of our international participants. I would suggest that everyone meet and talk with her this while you're here, because she knows what's going on in that part of the world and can give us all some ideas about how we can support global research.
Okay, well, if you have no other questions for everyone to hear, we'll end this session and we'll repair to the lobby right outside of this ballroom and have a good time over drinks and things to eat, and I hope that we'll have great conversations as well. So another round of applause, please, for Barbara.